This is Everything is Workable, a series of podcasts and blog posts that examine how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. My name is Caitlin Hatch, and I'm a creative polymath, which is a nice short way of saying I'm a designer, artist, animator, and published author. My purpose in life is to inspire curiosity, to inspire people to let go of the limited ideas that they have about themselves and their experience. Through the posts and podcasts of Everything is Workable, I hope to share some insight into what this means and give you some ideas of how to make your world so much bigger. I'll have various different guests to share their stories, as well as sharing my own, all with the aim of seeing everything as workable, even the most uncomfortable situations. Today, I'm going to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an immensely helpful tool when it comes to making things workable, but only when it's understood properly. My understanding of forgiveness has changed considerably since I was a child and teenager, and the older that I get, the more I appreciate the importance of forgiveness. In my experience, many people have a fundamental misunderstanding of what forgiveness is. I know that I certainly did. As I've said in previous episodes of Everything is Workable, to understand what something is, I like to look at what something isn't. So here's a few statements, just throwing these out there. Forgiveness is not a contract. Forgiveness is not about condoning bad behavior. Forgiveness is not us saying that it was okay when someone hurt us. Forgiveness is not about letting someone continue to harm us. So now I'm going to explore these statements of what it isn't to point at and get a better idea of what forgiveness is and how it's an essential tool for making everything workable. So first, forgiveness is not a contract. However, we're often taught to forgive this way as children. For example, someone does something hurtful, like they take away the toy that we were playing with without asking, and then they are like holding it above our head. So adult intervenes, forcing them, give it back. What do you say is asked of the naughty toy thief. Kid says, I'm sorry. And what do you say, the adult says to the victim. That's okay, I forgive you. Well, no, it's not okay. While the toy may have been returned, both players said their lines, neither of them had an understanding of the contract that they were just forced to make, which was, if you say sorry, you will be forgiven, and if someone says sorry, you have to forgive them. Very likely, the child made to apologize has no way of understanding what it is that they are taking responsibility for in that moment. Like, they didn't just take responsibility for their actions to accept that they may have done something hurtful. Instead, they've just said their lines because they were told to. They might even feel resentful, which is probably the opposite of what was intended. And, like, there was good intention behind that, but I know in my memory of childhood, I would instantly justify why what I had done was okay if I was made to apologize this way. I could twist the whole thing in my head because I felt ashamed to be forced to apologize, and I didn't like how I'd been put on the spot as bad. It felt really gross. And I also remember being in the other role as well. The one receiving an apology that I understood, even if I couldn't express it, meant absolutely nothing. I was aware that the other person hadn't offered it genuinely, didn't actually mean anything by it, and they're just saying it so that the pressure of being in the spotlight would be off of them. I knew it because it came across as ingenuine, and because I knew that when I said it that way and was in the spotlight, it was ingenuine coming from me. So it's that mutual understanding, this isn't working. This wasn't always the case, of course. The contract apology was something I was subjected to at school usually, or during things like Girl Guides. Some adults were much more effective in their approach. So my mom, for example, was very good with situations like this. In the case where I had hurt someone, right? Namely my poor older brother, to whom I was a holy terror, My mom would explain to me why what I'd done had been hurtful. She would tell me that it was up to me to apologize, but saying sorry didn't cut it. I had to think about the consequences of my actions, what they had been, what the result had been. And when I offered an apology, it had to begin with, "I apologize for," and end with a clear statement that acknowledged that I could recognize what I had done wrong. I learned a valuable lesson about empathy from this, taking responsibility for my actions, and learning not to repeat harmful behavior, like hitting my brother with Barbie dolls. I was kind of mean. So, the other side of the contract, right? Forgiveness. And here's where it's not a contract. You can offer the most heartfelt, genuine, well-thought-out apology, accepting total responsibility for something that you've done. And the other person does not have to forgive you. It is completely in their right to not forgive you. Because forgiveness is not something that we do for others. It could be helpful to them, but it's not for others. And I'd say that the same goes for an apology. We apologize because we regret our actions and we want to show that we are owning up to them, that we don't want to repeat them, or acknowledging the harm that we caused so that we can hopefully act more wisely in the future. So even if we aren't forgiven, we aren't lying to ourselves or pretending to be any different than we are. We're showing willingness to address a shortcoming and to learn from it. We can offer a genuine apology, not be forgiven, but still know that we acknowledged our behavior and took responsibility, regardless of whether or not we were forgiven. And when we forgive, we're showing our willingness to let go. There's a classic Buddhist teaching that says, holding on to anger is like holding on to a hot coal with the hope of hitting someone with it. You may hit your target and you may not, but you most assuredly will get burned. There is nothing wrong with anger. This phrase says holding on to anger. There's nothing wrong with anger. Anger communicates where our boundaries are and when they've been touched. And when someone harms us, it's completely acceptable to let them know that's what they've done, clearly, and just very precisely. So, for example, someone could say something really insulting about a member of our family. It's perfectly acceptable to turn around and say, "That's incredibly mean." You've told them that there was a boundary. You've not lost your cool. You've communicated that what they said wasn't acceptable. And then you can forgive them, whether they apologize or not. Because you're not forgiving them for being mean or for being a jerk or an asshole or whatever else you've decided to label them potentially. You're forgiving them for being human. Which brings me to the other statement I made. Forgiveness is not about condoning bad behavior. I know that I definitely used to equate forgiveness with condoning the things that people had done, like saying it's okay, which is why I firmly believe that some things are just unforgivable. Doesn't matter how you dress it up, some things are not and will not and cannot be seen as okay. But forgiveness is not condoning bad behavior. It's also not about saying it was okay when someone hurt us. We can forgive someone, but also choose to completely cut them out of our lives and never speak to them again. You don't have to like someone to forgive someone. And just as there is no contract that says when we offer an apology, someone must therefore forgive us, there's no contract that says just because someone has never apologized, we can't forgive them. This really turned things on its head for me. Like, I know it really did. The whole idea that I could forgive someone when they'd not apologized seemed radical, if not outright absurd. If they haven't apologized, then that means they don't know what they did wrong. So how could I possibly tell them it's okay? Well, as I said, forgiveness is not telling someone it was okay. Forgiveness is an acknowledgement of their humanness, and it's an acknowledgement of our ability to let go, letting go of the anger, or letting it run its course. It's about seeing that there was bad behavior, not making excuses for it, but making the choice not to hold on to or let the anger and hurt that we experience fester. Someone once said to me, "People who bottle things up get bitter, not better." Forgiveness is an experience of openness. It's an incredibly compassionate thing. It's compassionate to the whole human condition, to the person who harmed us and for ourselves because we don't want to hold on to something that makes our world small, scary, and hardened. And again, forgiveness is not saying that you like the person. It's saying you recognize their flaws, that they have them, and that resenting them or being pissed off is only going to make you feel worse and possibly even shorten your life. I like to provide examples, and there are an abundance of them, but I'm going to go with a particular situation that is unfortunately all too common. But I want to give a more extreme example because I think a lot of the time people do go to justifying the idea like there are some things that are really unforgivable. And I know I did for a really long time, but bear with me here. I like to provide this example here. In 1999 in Tabor, Alberta, a young man entered school property with a gun in hand. He wounded one classmate and fatally shot another. This was devastating for us in Canada, because gun crime is really, really low, and one of the things that we really pride ourselves on as setting us apart from Americans is the fact that we just don't have shootings. So school shootings don't happen in Canada. It's like sort of our feeling. And this was just 8 days after Columbine. It was a total blow to the small community of Tabor, not to mention to the rest of the province and the country. And as devastating as it was for the people of the town, the students, the faculty, a family had lost their son. They'd lost their son to what seemed to the rest of us a senseless and unforgivable act of violence. Dale was the father of the boy who was killed. I can't recall exactly when it happened, but it was possibly like within a few hours, or it was just like the very next day afterwards. He stood in front of a television camera. I remember watching this. And he forgave the boy who had done it. He was not saying that it was okay. He was not saying that he understood that the other boy didn't know better. In fact, he even stated that he was aware that several days prior to the shooting, the perpetrator had been heard to comment that he thought it would be cool to see what it was like to kill someone. But Dale still forgave him. Forgiveness is good for our heart. I know this might sound a bit woo, but let me explain. In forgiving his son's killer, Dale was saying that it wasn't okay to form a lynch mob. It wasn't okay to condemn or carry out an act of violence in the face of the violence that had already happened. That any anger or hatred directed towards the killer would simply perpetuate an already painful, devastating situation. Forgiveness is an act of healing. I was recently in America, and while there, several people commented on how wonderful it was to see how the congregation of the church in Charleston showed forgiveness to the young man who killed 9 of its members. President Obama spoke of it in his eulogy for Pastor Clementa Pinckney. He used the word grace, which I find incredibly fitting. Forgiveness is an act of grace. And forgiveness doesn't happen just once, and it doesn't mean we don't or won't feel angry or upset or hurt. We are not saying it's okay what you did. We are saying it wasn't okay, it shouldn't have happened, but it benefits nobody for me to respond in kind. It's acknowledging that the other had many reasons to act as they did, but reasons are not excuses. This boy who shot and killed his classmate in Tabor was severely bullied. He showed signs of depression and had recently dropped out of school. His life was not going well. These things didn't excuse what he did. Plenty of kids are bullied and suffer from depression, and they don't shoot classmates. But it does offer an explanation. Causes and conditions for a violent act. But it is forgivable. It's a forgivable act. These are reasons, all of them totally valid. You can have a lot of reasons for poor judgment and bad behavior and negative choices. But a good excuse? That's pretty rare. So when we forgive, we are acknowledging all the reasons someone had for their actions. We are acknowledging that they are human and just as flawed as anyone else, including ourselves. We are acknowledging it so that we can learn and grow from it, just as we learn and grow from acknowledging our own shortcomings when we apologize. It doesn't always come easily, and it doesn't always come quickly. Sometimes we have to forgive just little bits at a time. In the case of forgiving abuse that's occurred over a long period, we may need to go through a process of forgiving each individual incident. Or we may forgive each grouping. Like today, I can forgive the emotional abuse, but I still can't forgive the verbal abuse. That's fine. Because what we're doing when we are forgiving is that we're taking the other and we're turning them into human and just like me. And that is really difficult when someone has done something really harmful to us. Just like me, they're confused and want to be comfortable and happy. And just like me, they don't always go about getting comfort and happiness in the best ways. No, maybe you wouldn't have done the thing that they did, but that doesn't mean that you don't do things sometimes that cause harm. And I am not saying shrug it off with they didn't know any better. They didn't know any better is crap. Because sometimes they most assuredly did know better, and they went ahead and did it anyway. But that's something I'm pretty sure we can all identify with, even on a small scale level. Like, if you know that going on that ride at the fairground will make you sick, but you do it anyway. Or you know that eating that thing that you really want to eat because it's so delicious, but it'll give you a stomach ache and probably diarrhea later, but like you go ahead and you do it anyway. That compulsion is a very human thing, and we're all up against it. We all know how difficult it is to come up against our own lack of control or discipline or awareness, and most of the time, potentially all of the time, it's something that we do because we want to feel comfortable or safe or better about things. No one does anything because they want to feel worse. So I'm not saying that people don't know any better. What I'm saying is they were unable to stop themselves regardless of what they knew. But we can. We can leave a job because of a bullying manager. We could leave an abusive spouse. We could leave a manipulative friend. Never see any of them again. Never ever get an apology. Never have them in our life. But we can still forgive them. We can choose to hold on to our anger and let it fester and turn into hatred. Or we can see our anger, see the boundaries that it's establishing, see how much pain there is in the situation, and consciously choose not to contribute anymore. As I said earlier, Obama described grace as our ability to forgive, to show kindness to those who harm us, to offer them compassion. This is forgiveness in Christian terminology. In Buddhist terms, karma is used. We forgive because we don't want to build up that kind of karma. We step away from those who have harmed us out of compassion for ourselves and compassion for them. We remove ourselves from their line of fire so they don't accrue more karma with their actions. And if religion just isn't your thing, and none of these words work for you, it doesn't matter. You can still just examine how you feel. If you're able to let go of all the hurt, versus when you hold on to it and cultivate a bitter, angry heart and mind. I know it feels incredibly uncomfortable when I hold on to anger or fear or bitterness, and I also equate it with giving someone else power over how I feel. I forgive because I don't want to give someone else control over my outlook on life. I don't want my life to be limited by these things, to not take on a new job for fear that the manager might be a bully. Or to never have another relationship just because I was with someone incompatible before. To shy away from a potential friendship because of the actions of someone else. I forgive because it feels right, and I feel better when I do. But this only started happening when I really began to understand that forgiveness isn't saying it's okay. But don't take my word for it. I'm not you. I suggest starting small. You could use some slight from your childhood that still irks you. Something someone did years ago that isn't too heavy these days, but still carries a little sting. It's a practice that comes from the heart. Something that requires compassion, dignity, and most definitely grace. Be totally gracious with this. To yourself as much as anyone else. And see what happens when you forgive without a contract, without condoning. But because you don't want to hold on to that sting anymore. Thank you for listening to Everything is Workable, a Fun Wolf Creations production. If you have a question you'd like to ask, a topic that you'd like me to tackle, or if you'd like to become a contributor, you can get in touch with me through www.vast-skythinking.com by visiting the Everything is Workable blog.
Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.